Verge.
Stories are important because they are meaningful. And they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Lane Jr. I'm just so thankful and blessed to be here with you all today on the vessel himself. He's such a blessing to so many. Minister Rashawn Copeland, just to have this opportunity is such a blessing. I thank God. I pray somebody is touched by this, and if it's just one person, you know, hopefully they can relate. So I'll dive in. I'm originally from Shelby, North Carolina. I'm 27 years old. I have a younger brother, a younger sister, and they're in college now. Praise God, they're doing amazing. I have a daughter who is 3, and the Lord blessed me with her name, Kindred, as in kindred spirit, Kindred Valier Lane, and she is the joy of my life, you know, and Christ is just so amazing. And I pray that I'm able to cultivate, come into knowledge of what her talents are and cultivate them and just teach her her purpose and who she is and who she is, and just love her and love on her and just be the most world's best, most amazing dad, right? I've been a victim for so long, but now I claim being an overcomer of abuse of, you know, all kinds. I think as a result of that abuse, I got into premarital sex, drinking, and drugs, all of it pretty heavy, in college. Just a crazy, you know, time, and I didn't even recognize myself, and that was then. But, you know, to preface that, you know, my father was the one that was the abuser for me, all throughout life, really. Even now, I don't feel accepted by him, or my stepmother, or even my mom. Why not? I'd say I'm not sure. I stayed with him and was beaten with many objects of many kinds, and was sent to school with marks and bruises and scratches and things like that all up and down my legs, back, arms, bump. I remember I had a knot on my head one day from, you know, him hitting me, just jumping on me and beating the crap out of me, you know. And I remember being sent to school with the black eye and lying to teachers and friends, you know, just because I didn't want to, I don't know. You know, it was a scary time, crazy time, a dark time for me. Many times I contemplated taking my life, many, many times, so many times. I think we all as a kid, we get a little upset, you know, like, well, I'm just gonna run away, you know. But I can't say how many times I packed my bag and really just wanted to leave, because I didn't feel wanted. I didn't feel, I felt like, well, if you didn't want me, why did you even have me? You know, why are you even keeping me, you know, saying all these nice things about me publicly? We just look like this amazing family. But then when we get home, there's this, you know, tectonic shift. There's this divide, you know, and it's, I don't even recognize you. And so anyway, that, and then, you know, my mom wasn't there for me, you know, the first 9 years of my life. I think I saw her 3 times tops. And you know how it goes, right? Just like, you know, you think she's coming and she says she's coming and you're all hype and excited. Mom's coming. Yeah. And, you prep all these goofy jokes or, you know, just fun times you're imagining. And then she's like never showing up. And so you're kind of broken down and, you know, disheartened, for so long that was the case until she came back, to see me. But this time it was to stay. And I was so thankful. And when she came back, she had my brother and I just became a brother that day. We had no knowledge. I didn't, at least, that I had a younger brother, and he was a few months older at the time. He's in college now. My sister Olivia, who's my father's daughter, is in college also. So, you know, I'm big brother and so thankful. From day one, I wanted to be the best example I could for them. So for me, it meant being the man of the house early, you know, knowing mom was struggling with bills, crying herself to sleep at night. So talented, you know, limitless potential and just, you know, angelic voice, singing wise, and everyone knew she would get a deal and seemed like she was so close to getting one until one day she had multiple strokes. Everything changed. And mentally, you know, physically, everything. She was paralyzed on the right side of her body and cannot move the right side. And that was her dominant side. So she had to learn how to talk, walk, write, everything all over again. And it just robbed her of her independence. And to be such a strong, independent woman, you know, it was just a crazy thing to see. My brother, who was staying with her at the time, ends up staying with my grandfather, you know, and he passes away a few years after. And I'm actually there when everything's going down. He suffered from multiple ulcers. So that's internal bleeding. So, you know, it really left, you know, the home in disarray. We were in the kitchen when it happened, actually. And, you know, I was the only one there. So having to clean up after, or, you know, stay calm and aware of what's going on, enough to be able to respond, not show a frantic emotion, because I don't want to, you know, cause any more chaos. But ultimately the aim was to calm and soothe. And I felt so long that just the guilt that I just couldn't help him, you know. Ultimately, I remember helping paramedics carry him out on a gurney. And ultimately us getting in the news the next day that he had actually passed away that night. So you all be in prayer for me, because my mom, going back to her, you know, we don't know where she is. You know, we've gotten word that she's okay, but it just would do something for me if I were just able to see her and be able to ride by and, you know, just see that she's doing well, you know. So keep me in your prayers, lifted for that. So yeah, fast forward until today. I have a job, not in my field. The aim was to go and become an attorney. And that didn't, you know, go through. I ended up having premarital sex and the girlfriend I had, us having a kid that was kindred. She's such a joy. And, you know, that put law school on hold. I went through the relationship with her and tried to make it work to the point where, you know, I just made the decision to get married, because ultimately I thought that would fix everything. And obviously it didn't. It actually got worse, far worse. And she began to abuse me, hit me several times, and actually hit me while I was holding my daughter once. And also, and I had to leave. I had to separate, and ultimately, you know, we're in the process of finalizing divorce, and that's actually in a few months, but because of the law here. And I felt so guilty because I was such a failure at that, and so many things the enemy was throwing in my face. And I feel like I had all the right intentions, but just knowing, hey, be led by the Lord in all that you do. Whether you've been abused, neglected, refused, traumatized, the Lord is a restorer, and he can, bring that old you back and revitalize you to the point where the new you is actually better because of your experience, and that experience bringing hope and being a hope for so many, and hopefully in relation to what you've been and what they've been through, and having the ability to empathize with them. So, you know, I hope that somebody was able to get something out of this. I just wanted to share a tweet because I'm on Twitter, right? @_tryjesus. Mike Lane Jr. is my name on Twitter. And the tweet is from a professor, Jason Robertson, who's a leader in Christ. He says, if you are wondering whether God can use you, just remember, Thomas was a doubter. Jonah ran from God. Abraham was old. Jeremiah was young. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer. Martha was a worrier. Moses had a speech problem. Peter had a hothead. So, you know, just insert your name and personalize it, right? Like with the word, personalize it and think what you've had to struggle with, and, you know, knowing, well, with God, they overcame. Now it's your turn. It's time for you to believe in you. It's time for you to, you know that all of this is just above you. And, giving it to God, and your Canaan is right around the corner. I really feel like my land of milk and honey is literally like within my grasp. So I'm on Twitter, guys. If you want to follow me, reach out and say, if this touched you in any way positively, I'm hoping that would just mean the world to me to hear that from anyone, whether it's to reach out, speak, follow, or contribute to, you know, whatever. I have a Cash App also, $MLANE028. Or, you know, if you would just tweet and just speak with me, that would be amazing as well. I'm so thankful to have been with you all today, and I just wanted to share this testimony and also mention this too, because it's very important that you start where you are and God will take you where you need to be. Thanks, guys. I love you. Be blessed.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories podcast. Today, we'll be talking about four traits of a godly woman. The four traits of a godly woman. We hope you stay tuned, share this with a friend. But not only that, this episode is featured in, again, with my good friend, mentor, brother from another, but the same Heavenly Father, Sean McGuire. What's up, bro?
What up, Rashawn?
Man, I'm excited about Real Talk, Real Walk podcast that we're about to, you know, venture in on. I hope everyone who's listening goes over and subscribe, rate, and review. I hope you guys are tuning in, man. This is going to be fun. You ready, Sean?
Man, I was ready. I'm born ready. I'm pretty sure that we're going to give some people helpful tools, techniques to really, if you're a single fella, looking for a godly woman, we're going to give you some real clear measurements of how to discern if she's living for the Lord or living for someone else.
So true. Is she a drama queen?
Or is she a queen of the Lord?
That's it.
And then if you're married, we're going to give you some striving, some things to move towards in relationship. Or if you're a man and you're listening to this, but kudos to you, you're a stud.
Yeah.
Because we're going to give you some ways, if you're not in a relationship, to kind of understand. But if you are, how to pray for, love, and lead your wife in these key areas that really God made a woman to live out of. Now,
so true. And that doesn't exclude people who are single and ready to mingle. Don't go to eHarmony or Christian Mingle, but really, really listen to what we have to say as far as this. I think it's highly encouraging. It's going to be biblical sound and biblical truth.
And you know, this is not an exhaustive list. We've selected four elements that we think are valuable and will really help you out in life. So this is not exhaustive, but these are really key to being a godly woman in this culture and this world that we live in today.
Mm.
So the very first one comes all the way from Oklahoma City, or Edmond.
OKC, 405. Welcome.
405. It's the first key, the first trait of a godly woman is beauty.
Mm.
Beauty.
Wow. I love beauty because beauty may look different than what you're overly saturated and exposed to on social media.
Oh, man.
It actually can look like modesty, right?
It really can, you know, and there's a mild cultural movement going on. And it hasn't affected the shorts in America yet because the shorts for girls are way too short. My teenage daughter cannot find any shorts that aren't boys basketball.
Yeah,
that,
so good.
That aren't super, super short. And it's really beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And if you're a godly woman seeking to live for God, the beholder is God.
Wow. Come on now.
And, you know, that doesn't mean you can't wear makeup. That doesn't mean you can't wear nice clothes, that you can't shop, that you can't do these things. Because, listen, I want you to think about this. People don't talk about this often in non-perverted ways.
Yeah.
Because our culture has been so inundated with perversion, with pornography, with adulterating.
Wow, so true.
Beautiful, the beauty that God created women. Think about this. I have a son and I have a daughter is naturally more graceful.
Come on.
She's naturally less stinky. That's right. I said it. Less stinky.
He said stinky.
Her skin is naturally softer. Her hair is naturally smoother. And not as crazy.
Got it.
And you think about women as they age and they grow older, they want to maintain at some level, whether they've connected the dots or not.
It's a good word, Sean.
Of the inherent beauty that God made them to live out of. Now, as a young person, your beauty is a lot of it's external.
Yeah.
But as you age, if you're following the Lord, well, that beauty starts to go beyond the skin. It goes into the heart.
Mm.
And then your life, your actions,
flow out
the very
of that.
Presence that you carry of Christ around you.
So good.
Is beautiful.
I love that. I love that. It makes me think of that proverb that talks about as water reflects the face, so does a heart of man reflect the man.
Amen.
A lot of the things that people see about us and they, you know, a lot of ways they see us can really directly reflect what we value. You know,
that's right.
Literally the way we dress, our appearance, you know, how truly, you know, we want to be connected with God and, you know, what he truly created us to be. It can all be seen in how we our appearance.
Amen. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, ladies, if you're listening, that you are so much more than the way you look on the outside. That
you're valuable.
Not, yeah. You do not need to move forward into trying to be someone you're not. Trying to get breast augmentation, trying to get plastic surgery, trying to just live at the Botox factory.
So true.
That God made you uniquely to be you. Nobody else can share that space as long as you're being authentic. And when you're living out of beauty and you look in the mirror and no matter makeup or no makeup, hair fixed, not hair fixed, eyeshadow, no eyeshadow, no foundation,
woo!
You see the beauty of God in your reflection, then you are living clearly out of the identity and glorifying God in a way that no beautiful person in Hollywood could ever match.
So amazing, Sean. So amazing.
So stop trading your beauty in exchange for something that's not real, something that nobody has apprehended. If you think that people in Hollywood that look, they really do, they look magnificently flawless a lot of times on these covers or on Instagram. If you think they've got it figured out, then look at the ads behind the story.
Ooh.
Look at the story behind the life.
Come on.
They're divorcing. They're on drugs. They're in rehabs, out of rehabs.
So
they're
true.
Miserable. Even Kanye West, before he found God, and not that God was ever lost, before God found him and he surrendered, that he was in a mental institution. He was in a hospital to recover because this guy had everything, super talented, gorgeous wife, gorgeous family.
Yeah.
And yet he's miserable because the things that promise happiness and joy and life and love and value in the world only eventually and always take away.
Wow. I love that. This world is broken by, you know, design. That's why we're broken by default. And I think about it this way. Like I passed by a CVS the other day and I began to think about like with Kanye West, you know, there's a lot of drugs that can fix a headache or fix a broken leg. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Different things you can take in, but only one thing can fix our broken hearts. That's God. That's the one who created it. And he wants us to work from a place of a brokenness so he can make those things beautiful again.
Amen.
He wants to change, you know, what's happening on the inside. And I think a lot of us are struggling because we get our value from everything in this world. You know, you could be on a private jet in your PJs, but still be so empty.
That's how you got here today?
Yeah,
private
that's
jet.
It.
No, is that why you wear your still, PJs?
Yeah, that's it. Because you see all these Instagram models trying to tell you how you should live your life.
Man.
Do these five steps, you'll be rich and you'll be wealthy. But the
it's
problem is
real.
They don't tell you about the brokenness that they're really struggling with, the depression, anxiety, the fear,
the pressure,
the unsatisfaction that they have out of the lifestyle they're living. And I'm telling you, the best, the richest man and the wealthiest man is a man with God.
Amen.
Let's take a quick break to hear from a sponsor. Today's podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries. Denison Ministries is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truths of the gospel to their sphere of influence through a variety of ways, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about what God is doing through today's podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministries helps Christians unpack the culture around them is through their Denison Forum. The Denison Forum is designed to help Christians thoughtfully engage the issues of the day from a biblical perspective. Each day, Jim Denison writes on the cultural and contemporary issues of the day through his daily article. You can sign up to get the Denison Forum daily article sent directly to your inbox at denisonforum.org. Or start your day off with the Daily Article Podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now back to today's program.
So guys, beauty. Don't let culture define how you find it. Don't let culture define whether you're beautiful or not. Let God define it because his mind is made up and he does not change.
Come on now.
The second trait of a godly woman, the second trait, which is big, is they are masterful at relationships. They are the ninjas in the space of relationships. They are the, you know, people always want to equalize.
They communicate.
Yeah, that is right.
I'll give a line, she gives a sentence.
You
get a paragraph.
Man, you got it.
We get a book.
You get a chapter, they get a book. You do a book, they do a series. It's true. Hey, the ideal day for most women is to sit around, have coffee, or sit by the pool and enjoy. The ideal day for a guy is to go play football, get his head smashed in, to go bang and drain and all around. And man, we
get
just
some barbecue with the fellas. They want to barbecue us. Get off the couch.
Get off the couch.
Girl, wash your face.
Girl, wash it all the way. Hey, so I want you to really think about this, that women are masterful at relationships, and you are gifted by God and anointed by God and empowered by God. By who?
Wow, by God.
Man, not by your parents.
Come on.
Not because somebody said you should or shouldn't.
Not by your friends.
Not by your friends, but by God. And that means you are supposed to, you are called to live this life seeking healthy ways to build relationships. You are the cog that keeps your family running smoothly. You're the cog that plans the schedules, that thinks about, hey, we haven't seen your friends in about 2 years. Why don't we invite somebody over?
Yeah. That's good, Sean.
You tell the dads, hey, dad, you know, here's the reality. I make a lot of effort at being a dad. I mean, I really do. It's the greatest joy and the greatest amount of failures in my life because I'm so aware. If I wasn't married to my beautiful wife, Tanda,
God,
in all seriousness, as many books as I've read, 25 years of counseling, I would be nowhere near the dad, near the man.
Come on,
brother. And I have a long way to go if I didn't have my wife helping me see, hey, you know, you went in there and he was having a great time and you left and he wasn't.
Yeah.
What's the common denominator in that situation, Sean?
Wow.
Just
so
helping
good.
Me see areas that I just need to improve on.
Wow.
And that's what they do. They're so, if they tune into the way God made them, and if they struggle, get counseling, get help. Yeah. You are the ones that really move the relationships of our world.
So true.
Along and great and amazing. You are just so magnificent. So if you live out of your beauty and you start tuning into the way that you make a home, a house, a home.
Yeah.
You take this skeleton building and you beautify it with your presence, with your
so
touches.
Good. Yeah.
And you make it a place where families can be raised. You make it a place where families can do life together in a safe space.
So
where
good.
They feel warm, where they feel welcome. Hey, you're the hospitality queens.
Mm.
I mean, you guys rock this in a way most of us men will never even consider.
And I love that you're saying that. And we have this culture of honor for women. One, because women, alongside the Holy Spirit, are the best developers for us.
I
believe.
I tell you what.
You're saying about Tanda,
man,
if it wasn't for her and the Holy Spirit, you would
true.
Be the Sean McGuire
man.
Today, are the one becoming who you called to be.
Man, you've no, yeah. Hey, she's my best therapist.
Wow, come on.
I don't always listen, but she always gets paid.
There we go. She always gets that clean.
She always gets paid.
Ching,
she always gets paid.
That's awesome.
So the third trait of a godly woman is she's a servant at heart.
Wow.
She has a servant's heart. If you think about it, look at the woman in the Bible. Look at the ones that lived out of the gospel. Martha.
Mary.
I mean, Mary.
At the feet of Jesus.
At the feet of Jesus. She served him through relationship. Yeah. Martha served him through service. Mm. And I'd say the marriage of both.
Serving. Mm-hmm. Even though a lot of people look down on Mary and Martha, I really don't believe, you know, he just said Mary has chose the greater thing. You know, even though there's a lot to go into that, but
people
yeah,
were
so
hungry.
Good.
People were hungry. Be fed.
They need to be fed, and you need the hospitality and things like that. But yeah, I think there's a time.
So the careful part of this is make sure that you serve out of what God's called you to serve, and not out of what man, even your husband or your kids, demand of you.
Yes,
make sure that you. And we can go into this in another.
When to
podcast.
Say yes, when to say no. Sometimes man. You got to say no that's in order right. to be like I'm on the go for God. You know.
Because what I've noticed in my wife and a lot of these amazing women that I see is they are so servant-hearted, but they lack the boundaries to say no. They lack the boundaries to say no to this so they could say yes to go get on a walk, go working out, going to get something to eat with a friend. They lack the boundaries of taking care of themselves because they're so others-focused that they get drained and then all these other areas of their life start to fall apart. But that doesn't mean that God didn't create you to serve. It just means God created you to serve in ways that he's called you to serve, not the demands of those around you.
So true. So true, Sean. And let's talk about this really quick, Sean. Have you ever been in an instance where you're talking to your wife, you're talking to your bride, and you have to bring up this conversation? One, I love the times when my wife treats me like a girlfriend, like we're girlfriend and boy, you know, having
the
fun.
Is that why you
side.
Had a pink bow on your hair when you showed up today?
Look, you funny. No, not treat me like my girl. I didn't mean it like that. But there's this aspect when you're a married man, it can be the girlfriend moment and the wife moment where I look at her as my girlfriend. Mother. Yeah. Sometimes she can be coming down on me like she's my mama, my mother. And there's some good parts of that because she gives me truth and love, you know. And there's times where I'm like, I really feel like you're being my mom, you know, trying to drag me off the bed. I think it's a lot about the way she says things that makes me feel like, okay, I'm not your child. But then on the other end, oh, man. We're having a fun time. We laughing. Yeah. It's like we're back.
The girlfriend.
Yeah. So yeah, have you ever experienced
it was 2 weeks
that?
When you guys were dating? It was amazing.
yeah. So there's this fun side, then there's this other side. Like, okay, I'm struggling with this, but my wife's calling it out, and I need to, you know, address that. But I think there's other ways we both can communicate that. But
man, so you marry the one above the masterful relationship that they're so good at, and the servant heart. There's so many ways that women bring life and joy to the table.
Yeah.
That when we neutralize them and we say, you have to be like a guy, then we're taking away a whole part of the beautiful, magnificent creation of women.
Oh, that's so true.
You know, I mean, I don't know. When I think of women, I think of beauty.
Beauty.
You know,
that's
when I think of a woman gone sour, when a woman who doesn't live out of her identity, when a woman who's been hurt and not dealt with the issues that brought her there, I think of somebody who's mean like a snake. Because when you just nasty, hurtful, like a mean girl. Because when you take the beauty and you remove a woman from her identity, then she starts acting like something she's never been created to be.
Wow.
Which is typically some form of the opposite. So instead of living out of beauty from the inside, she spends so much time on the outside and she doesn't care who she runs over, or she's like a shallow balloon where you just a little pin of rejection
pops
this whole thing.
Yeah.
And so the more they live out of that, and the way that you do that is you foundationally are based in God's word.
That's it.
Foundation of a godly woman. The fourth trait is the Bible.
The Bible. The B-I-B-L-E.
That's the book for me.
Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God. Yes, the B-I-B-L-E.
Boom. Voice to man.
That's it.
Voice to man right here.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Awesome. So one of the ways this helps is think about your roles. Instead of trying to figure out what the culture says you should or should not do based upon, you know, the culture used to also say smoking was great.
Yeah.
Used to think football, no problems. People aren't going to get Alzheimer's from getting slammed in the head by the most elite athletes in the world. But the reality is the Bible doesn't change.
Same
throughout
yesterday,
history, today
and forever.
And so you think about God's role for you is where you should, that's the one that you should seek to live out of. The Proverbs 31 woman. which I think could be many women, or it could be the woman in different seasons of her life, because I don't know anybody that can get up that early, do all those things.
Yeah.
Unless she may have some assistance, I suspect. She probably had some, you know, servant girls helping her out. You know what I mean?
Probably, training them up because she disciples too.
Yeah, there's the first E-Myth Revisited book written back then from Proverbs 31 woman.
So true.
I want you guys to think about, how do you base your relationship with your spouse? If you're not dating, or if you are dating, with the person you're in a relationship with your friends, with your kids, with your coworkers, with your own self. You go to the Word of God to define these things. Because what if, a lot of times people come to counseling and they say, Sean, I heard you're great at, and they fill in the blank. I need you to help me find out who I am.
Yeah.
I said, what if we go down this path of looking for who you are, and you're a real jerk? Or you're just a mean person. You're not worth it.
Mm.
I said, we can do that. And we can go down that path and we could ask all these questions. Or we could get out God's Word and we could say, this is who God says you are. This is who the master creator says you are. And we can move towards that identity, which is amazing.
Yeah. That changes everything.
And most people will go towards that. They'll go towards that.
And here's the thing. A lot of times it isn't the fact that people don't believe in God, but they don't believe that he's good and that his word is true.
That's right.
And here's the thing. It's a lot easier to go to someone you can see and hear their words about you than it is to listen into the affirmation of God's heart and his whispers over your life that will change your world.
Amen.
But the word, I think what you're saying is, Sean, that guys, we can go to the word and be in full confidence of who we are in him and not in the things of this world.
Man, and it's so true. And that's the real foundation that you build the beauty on.
Yeah.
You build the masterful relationships on, and you build the servant heart on, is the word of God.
Mm.
Because nobody can, what man doesn't give, man cannot.
He can't take it.
Boom.
What?
And so guys, just think about this. This should help you in, if you're a single feller, if you're a single lady, if you're married, these traits are what God calls us to aspire into and live out of as well.
Yeah. And Sean, I want to ask you this. If it's a young lady out there listening right now, can you talk about a little bit
name?
Of freedom? Roxanne.
I knew you were going to say Roxanne. I was going to say Roxy, but you said Roxanne.
That's crazy.
All right, Roxanne. Yeah.
But anyway, that's crazy if it's really someone out there named that. But real quick, Sean, can you talk into those who may be listening, a young lady who doesn't feel a freedom to make mistakes or to, you know, she feels like she has to be perfect in every single lane and aspect of her life. Can you talk into like how there's grace and, you know, there's a hope to fight towards perfection,
sure,
but you don't have to be perfect. It's a lane of progression we're walking down.
You know, the great thing about perfection is you'll never get there
and
you don't have to try.
Wow.
You can, but you don't have to.
You don't have to.
And you know, One of my daily statements of faith has something to do. It sounds, look at the size of that dog. It looks like a horse.
Oh, it's a dog out there?
Yeah, it looks like a horse.
Wow.
It's about 4 feet at the shoulder. I think we have a dog. I know, right? So, Grace, squirrel. We're in front of a window, so we record and we see these things. Sometimes deer, turkeys, bobcats, whatever.
Chickens.
That was pretty good. Man, did you go for our chickens?
I don't know.
Rashawn got a talent. He's going to be on America's Got Talent next week.
I don't know.
Stay tuned. Rashawn, Copeland, and Simon. Yeah, you got it. So one of the things is, one of my statements of faith that I say every day has to do with my identity, that God, I thank you that I'm a son who is loved because of who you are, not because of what I've done.
Wow.
God,
wow.
I thank you that I'm a son who is loved because of, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Who you are.
And
what
some
you've
statement
done on the cross.
Of that goes a really long way. That's validating yourself in the Bible. Also, seeking to move towards living out of a beauty that's internal. And of course, you still should wear makeup, dress nice, and look presentable. I think there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's way behind your identity and your identity is not compromised with a bad outfit. And you can feel better with a good outfit, but as long as it's not compromised by a bad outfit, then you're good. You're on the space.
So
and
true.
Moving towards that daily and realize that you're not saved by works. You're saved by
grace through faith.
So validating these scriptures, meditating on them, and really making a solid commitment with accountability and finding people that can walk this road with you is the way that you're going to make progress in any area of life, doing anything, is to really be passionate about that.
So good. And that accountability aspect, I know Denise really honors your wife for being a huge part of her growing into the woman of God she's becoming. Accountability is huge. So if you need other women around you, go plug in into a community group, a life church, you know, like a church that gives life, life-giving church, a biblically sound church, and around women that can grow you and lean into you into the biblical truths that you're called to walk in.
Man, that's good. So, Rashawn, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. You guys have been amazing.
Woo, thank you, guys.
We're doing three videos across Rashawn's 2,000 platforms.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And we are so excited that we believe God will really change your lives.
Yes.
And if you've liked this, I think you guys would really like the Real Talk, Real Walk podcast that we do.
Make sure you go over to Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts, SoundCloud. You can even go over to Spotify and look up Real Talk, Real Walk podcast. Guys, we would love to have you over there. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. We really appreciate all the things you guys have done, even taking time, your precious time, to listen to us as we pour into you guys, leveling you guys right where you are.
Man, that's so good. How do they get a hold of you?
They can hit me up at www.rashawn.com.
Rashawn.
I'm just playing. Hit me up at on any of the social media platforms at Rashawn Copeland, or you can go over to Sean over at newvisioncounseling.live. I wonder why you pick live over org. I think it's because we want our people to
live it
type
out.
It in and live it out.
Amen.
Live it out.
Boom.
All right, guys. We love you all. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
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 Thanks for listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.